Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. I'm Sherry Hoyt, and I'm your host for today. I'm so excited to be speaking on the phone today with Sandy Cook, author of A Home for Abigail, a heartfelt story based around the true events of an abandoned dog and her journey of finding a forever home and family. But before we begin, let's learn a little bit more about Sandy. Sandy Marriott Cook lives in Texas with her husband Richard and their furried and feathered children. Sandy has been an animal lover ever since her pet turtle was her best friend and confidant. As an artist, she hopes to convey the special places pets hold in our hearts. To see some of her portraits of pets and wildlife, visit her artist page at www.smarriottcook.com. And for more information on Sandy and A Home for Abigail, visit her website at www.ahomeforabigail.com. And that's www.ahomeforabigail.com. Hi, Sandy. Welcome to Inside Scoop Live.
Well, hi. I'm so glad to be talking with you, and how are you doing today?
I'm great, and it's certainly my pleasure having you here today. Why don't you start by telling our listeners a bit about yourself?
I have painted for about 15 years. I've been an animal lover for many, many, many years. As an only child, animals were really my only friends as I grew up, and they have just really been close to me. When I started painting, I actually really went to that. I painted portraits with animals and then just basically went to animals. I'm married with my precious, wonderful hubby bear, Richard, whose name is Teddy Bear, so I'll probably accidentally refer to him as Bear. And I have 5 cats. And a dog.
Wow, that's impressive.
Thank you. We enjoy them immensely.
Oh, yeah. So, of course, we're going to talk about your book, A Home for Abigail. Wonderful book, beautiful. I mean, the book itself is just absolutely beautiful.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that.
In our Reader Views Awards contest, you won 3 of our awards and then 1 of our sponsors' awards, Best Children's Book of the Year in 2 of our categories, first place in our Reader Views, the Reviewer's Choice Awards, and then our sponsor award, Feathered Quill Be Kind Animals Awards. It's pretty impressive for your first book.
Oh, it was just so exciting. I have a funny story about it. They sent the little attachment of all the little certificates and everything. I kept looking at them, and I finally emailed back and said, did I win 4 awards? I was very excited.
Yeah, that's really great. What does that mean to you personally, your story about Abigail and for the work that you do with animals? How did you feel when you first heard it?
I was just so excited. It'd been so long since I had entered and everything, and of course it was so neat because I always pray for the awards and pray for notice of the book because of my message in the book, and hope so much that many, many people will be affected by my message in the book about spay and neuter your animals, because we have so many extra animals. And I cannot tell you, I was absolutely thrilled. I told my husband immediately and started emailing my friends and sending them copies. I haven't actually announced all of them yet on Facebook because I'm kind of doing it one at a time, but I did the Feathered Quill, which was the other one that you were talking about, and put there. They did an interview and, you know, did a review, and I posted those, and I'm starting with because you put me in the giveaway, which we need to mention, I guess, this month, and I'm really excited about that.
Well, good. Like I said before, the book itself, to hold it and just to look at all the wonderful pictures, and it's a total package, a great story, great writing, pictures. I'm glad I had the chance to read it.
Very kind. You're very sweet. I do a little talk on how I had a lot of help. Thank you, God, for providing My hubby, who put it on InDesign for me, he is an IT, and so he's just wonderful, and did that and really helped me to, so I could show the publisher exactly my vision of the book. And so we really designed the book, and what you see is what we did, but he was an enormous help for that. My goddaughter, who helped me do the great the first edit, she was just, she's a really great writer on her own right, and hopefully I will get there or be there at some point, but and just the encouragement of another good friend who's good with computers and working with the publisher. I won't go, but I do a talk because I always say thank you, God, because you helped me so much and actually brought the little animals along, and we found all the animals and everybody. We had worked so well into the book, it was just obvious to me, you know, that it was ordained like that. So
yeah,
I had
absolutely.
Help.
I love that it's written from Abigail's perspective. I think it just gives such a unique feel to the story. And it, I don't know, I think it connects with the readers on a more intimate level. So how did you decide to write from Abby's perspective?
Well, I'll tell you exactly how I did. It was so funny because you hear people on TV and everywhere all the time saying, spay and neuter your animals. Spay and neuter your animals, et cetera. I could say it over and over, and I know that everybody's heard it. And I feel that it was a God-given inspiration to say, if Abigail says it, maybe it'll get to the children and they'll hear the dog actually say it's really good to be spayed or neutered. And then Mr. Buns and everybody joins in and actually says it's much better. So that was why.
Yeah, that's great. And I know the kids did hear the message. Our reviewer just loved the book. She mentioned in her review how it was a wonderful lesson, and I just love that point of view. I just think it's great. You know, it kind of made me think, well, do the animals really think and talk to each other? And I'm sure they do.
I guess they do, too. I know when Cosette came out in the first place, so interesting you say that, because I remember a lady that I had mentioned to, I said, you know, it's all true except the animals are talking to each other. And she said, well, of course they do. We just don't hear them.
Yeah, that's right. So Abigail was not your first rescue, and you mentioned a little bit about your other animals. Tell us more about your pet family. You have five cats. Were they rescues?
All but one is a rescue. Monsieur Monet was a gift from our goddaughter for my birthday.
I love that all of your pets have nicknames. What is your fascination with nicknames, obsession?
They say obsession. I don't know if it's, hopefully, I will call it my creativity. Because
okay.
I have maybe five, six nicknames. I remember I had a cat, little cat named Phoebe, and her nickname was Cookie. And the vet looked at me real funny one time, and when I said Cookie, and she went, I said, that's Phoebe. And Phoebe knew her nickname. I mean, they all know their nicknames, by the way.
That's funny.
They're very good about it.
Great.
Yeah, I'm cute. Story, when I put Teddy Bear down for Richard's nickname in the front and had him referred to as Bear in the story, and I, when I first wrote it, I let a friend of mine's grandchildren read it just to kind of see how, and this little girl said, where's the bear? So I had too many animals. So I took his nickname out.
That's funny. I love the cast of characters in the beginning with all the animals and their nicknames. I thought that was a nice touch as well.
Thank you. I was hoping that would, because there were kind of a lot, and since they were talking, it would clarify, especially for younger children.
Absolutely. How do your cats feel about your rescue work? How did they feel when you brought Abigail home? You talk a little bit about it in the story and how you worked with the animals to help them get to know each other. But tell me about the initial reaction when you would bring in a new pet.
Well, we always, when we bring in a new cat, we set up a large cage and put the new cat in it and let everybody look at the cat for like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's like pretty good because they've gotten to see it without being threatened. When we brought in Abigail, she was still, as I look back, it was totally, God knew we needed to keep her. We did not want to keep the dog. We tried desperately, which is noted only slightly in the book, sort of, but we really didn't want to. God knew better, and we did end up keeping her, and she was wonderful from the word go. She went in, and of course, I was standing there. I'm just not in the actual book. I would never let her be by the bunny. I mean, I was very watchful.
Right.
You know, with that. But she came in, Mr. Buns thumped, and it was just so funny to he knew a new animal was there, and he was claiming his little territory. But they were really good friends. And Cosette did come in just exactly as I had in there, and she was sitting there, talking with them. I'm saying that, but she was just adorable. And I assumed we all, both Richard and I, looked at each other and went, well, obviously she's been around dogs. And, of course, the other ones hadn't. Chloe hid under the covers for a while. And, but they, Abigail was so wonderful with them. I cannot even tell you. She was great with the ducks. She was great with the baby ducks. She never, ever really threatened anything. She was just a marvelous dog about it, about everything.
Cats are so funny, too. I love the picture in the book with the cat. It was her turn to get to know Abigail, and so she got up on your lap, I think it was. And
I had all of the trainer in her, yes. I don't know which one you're talking about, Chloe.
The one, she turned her back to the dog. She was like,
oh, that's Cosette. Yes, our little pill. I'll put it politely.
That's just a cat, isn't it? You know, all their personalities. You gotta love them, huh?
Yes, she was a hoot. She really, really was a funny little cat. She had been returned. She had actually been dumped at the pound, by the way. I say returned. That's not really right. She was dumped at the pound, and the lady where we adopted her said the message said she will not engage. And the rescuer said, "I'm not sure what that means."
Yeah.
We decided that whoever got her, she was a beautiful cat, did not have cats. They weren't used to them. They probably had dogs. Somebody either talked them into it or something like that. And they just didn't understand you don't make cats, particularly Siamese-type cats, which, of course, she was as a Himalayan. She wasn't going to have any of it, but she was great, and she was very precious. I make her sound, I mean, she just loved Richard. She was really Richard's little girl, and Chloe was really sort of my, you know how they get, like, of course, they liked us all, but, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I have two cats, and, you know, I'm the one that feeds them and gives them their treats, and I love them more. And who do they go to first is my husband. It's, you know, I'm like, okay, I don't like it, but I guess I got to accept it, you know.
Sure. That's just the way they are. That's why they're cats.
It's a cat thing, yeah. So you rescue waterfowl as well. What exactly does that mean, and what is involved?
Well, we actually used to be on the Audubon call list. We've done it for so many years. We've rescued wild waterfowl and birds for about 30 years, all the way from little hoot owls to swan. I mean, large, huge swans.
Wow.
We've actually done nursing and things like that, and I've tubed them, as I mentioned in the book, and do all kinds of things. There is a wildlife, fortunately, sanctuary of birds here called Rogers Wildlife, and she has been an enormous help, and we take a lot of them to her. But we have huge nets, just like I mentioned in the book and everything, and Abigail came. She was wonderful, always with them, and seemed to really enjoy rescue efforts.
Where did you learn how to do all of that?
Oh, I had a wonderful dear friend named Don Fear, who is a wildlife, actually, specialist attorney, and he was enormously helpful, and he is one of the huge waterfowl experts, actually, in the country. He is considered that now, and he's great.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specialized in interviewing published authors about their current books and their areas of expertise. Join us and hear both well-known and upcoming writers talking candidly about their life, experience, as well as the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, we strive to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are available 24/7 through direct podcast, as well as MP3 download from your computer for your convenience. Please visit us at InsideScoopLive.com.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. I'm talking today with Sandy Cook, author of A Home for Abigail. Stay tuned because we're going to continue the conversation with Sandy about rescuing waterfowl, painting, being a big classic movie fan, how a new home for Abigail was a family project, and her new dog, Peaches. In the meantime, you can learn more about Sandy and her book, A Home for Abigail, by visiting her website at www.ahomeforabigail.com. And that's www.ahomeforabigail.com. One of the main things that comes to mind from the story is the rescue and the actual rescue and Abby's journey to find her forever home. What advice can you give people if they encounter what looks like either a lost or an abandoned animal?
The best thing to do is take a picture and put it on Facebook. If you can possibly foster yourself, there are local people that will also post the picture, and we share them, and often they're found. My main advice to people would be get your animals microchipped. Please get them microchipped. It is the one biggest thing where you can get your animal back. I have stories that I've reposted of people getting their animals back from a microchip like 3 and 4 years later.
Oh, wow.
It is enormously important that people do that. It is, and that's why I wrote it into the story, as part of the story.
Okay, that is good advice. And then, of course, I guess one should always be wary encountering a strange animal because you never know how they're going to act. You know?
I will say that. Abby was unbelievable. Of course, I didn't know her name at the time. She was very, very friendly, and I remember leaning over and opening up because I'm not that used to dogs, really. She was great. She tried so hard to get in. It was very obvious that her demeanor was very sweet and very friendly. She was not fearful. I really would advise people to maybe certainly get help if they had an animal that seemed fearful. My advice to people who adopt animals would be give it some time. It is always, I don't care where you get the animal, if it's from an actual shelter or a pound, which those are really two different things. Sometimes pounds call themselves shelter, but it is really different. Or from a foster, because a lot of shelters use fosters, and they're not as traumatized coming from there.
Right.
So often they're traumatized, you don't know what the animal is going to be like until it calms down and feels safe. And so you have to think, people remember if you were taken out of where you live and or gotten lost or whatever, and you can't communicate with anybody what's going on, and you can't really understand how you might feel. So I just feel that that's something to say, you know, to give it a month. Don't take it back the next day because, oh, my gosh, they did this.
Yeah, you can't set expectations like that.
Exactly. That's why when I was talking about putting the new cat in a cage, and it sounds maybe irpy, but it really isn't mean or anything like that. The new cat needs to feel comfortable where it is, and it does. It's a large cage, I mean, with like two stories, and they can get, everybody feels comfortable. They don't feel threatened, and it makes for so much better introduction for new animals.
Yeah, we got our Felix from the Humane Society, and we already have Fred. I'm not too creative with names here.
I think Fred's a great name. Richard's a name to Negret Fred.
But we kept Felix in one of the bedrooms with the door shut, and that way they could kind of sniff under the door and get used to each other that way. I didn't think about a cage because that probably would have been better. They could have seen each other, but...
But you had certainly the right idea. A cage just works because they can sit there. They can put a litter thing in there. It has just worked really well for us.
So tell us about your new dog. You have a new member of the family.
We do. Her name is Peaches. She is absolutely precious. She came from the Fort Worth pound. We got her on the day before Christmas Eve, which was our 20th anniversary. We got married on Christmas Eve.
Oh, wow.
And so we got her this year. She is a little doll. We all three had colds. She had kennel cough, and Richard and I had colds. We drove over and picked her up. I saw her off of a Facebook deal because I have lots of rescuers. I'm friends with rescuers because of, obviously, what I do. And saw her little face, and she's just a doll. She was not as I'm not going to say she wasn't enthused at meeting the cats, but she wanted to run play with them, and
oh.
we had to introduce her to the cats. But now she's absolutely fantastic. She plays with them. It did not take long at all. She's just the sweetest little thing in the whole world. She loves other dogs. She is a pit mix, but she loves other dogs. That was one of the major reasons we liked her, and she's just precious. She's in her second manners class. She's already gotten her first certificate, and we're heading all the way to K-9 Good Citizen, and I am very hoping, if it works out, possibly to get her a therapy license so that we can go to classes and possibly explain to children about adopted pets and what it's like to adopt them, going to a pound, and how to take good care of a pet, like microchipping and bringing up spay and neuter and things like that.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Do you talk to, like, schools or anything currently, or is that?
I do not. It is something that I have really thought about and wanted to do. I've got a lot of friends with animals, and particularly with the rescue, and I suspect I could probably interest some of them. I'm very busy trying to get out. My mother passed away, and I was the executor of her will, and I'm a little bit behind time on the illustrations of my new book. I've actually got two new manuscripts written, and I'm working intensely, and because I put so many illustrations in each book, because I love illustrations, and everybody seems to, and it's the one thing that everybody always mentions, oh, you have so many illustrations, it's a lot of fun. So that's what I always try to do, and so it's going to be kind of time-consuming, but I am heading, and already talked with the wonderful, we have a great teacher for the classes, and she does therapy work too. So I'm excited about Peaches possibly being a therapy dog.
Yeah, that is exciting. The kids would love it too. I don't know what age group you might gear that towards. That sounds
I don't think
great.
That would be too limited, because I suspect now high school kids probably wouldn't care, but I would think even 9, 10 years old. That's the thing about the book, and I was very excited that I let ReaderViews put it in the category. They put it 8 up. We were asked to try to buttonhole it, and it's really funny on my reviews on Goodreads. I think only one person or two people actually mentioned about their kids. Everybody seemed to really like it as an adult, and so that was wonderful to me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course, an 8-year-old and up can read the story, but the younger kids would be interested as well in having the story read to them. So it is hard to pinpoint an age group.
That is what ReaderViews mentioned, that you might either want to have the child read it to you so you could explain things going along, you know, some of younger children if they can.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you read it to them for younger ones.
Yeah. Of course, you did all the illustrations. They're actually paintings?
Yes, they are oil paintings.
Okay. And you've painted for a while now.
I've painted now for about 16 years.
Wow. And you've always painted pets and wildlife?
Yes, I actually do. I paint lions and tigers and bears. That's what I actually have done more in illustration style, obviously. But I had a good friend who did a lot of volunteer work at a exotic cat sanctuary, that when people think they want an exotic pet and then they obviously can't keep them any longer, they have to find someplace for them. And I have numerous pictures of them, and that has been wonderful. I've also had friends that have gone to Africa, and they've shared. So that's neat. I've gotten to do that a lot. I haven't had time to paint exotic animals as much, but I have kind of a surprise on one of the books with Monsieur Monet in it, and I'm going to incorporate some of that.
Okay.
So that'll be fun.
Now, you mentioned you had a couple other books in the works, manuscripts started. Can you tell us anything about them?
Finished. Well, I'd like to kind of keep them as a surprise. I'm working on the illustrations now, and that's okay.
Okay, that sounds good. So what do you like to do when you're not rescuing animals or painting?
Well, we're walking. I have a new Fitbit, and I have walked the length of Italy in about 5 months. So my Fitbit informed me that I got my Italy boot or
badge. Yeah,
okay. So I'm really glad about that. My husband and I do a lot of work, because we do walk the dog and walk and rescue and feed ducks a lot. But our favorite thing probably is classic movies. We are both huge classic movie fans. I used to sneak up when I was a little girl watching movies. My mother never knew. I remember watching a really scary one time. and being scared to death, and everybody, I couldn't say anything or do anything because I loved them. Then I always feel like they had more fun, scary movies. Now they're kind of horrible.
Exactly.
I'm sorry, but they really are. Then someone was really, really nice and invented a VCR, and I didn't have to stay up anymore because I'm really kind of a night owl. I mean, I've been known to paint till like 3 in the morning. I go, God, I just got to go to bed because if you get going painting, it's the time just melts away. But
yeah,
movies are of a tremendous, and I love classic films. I'm actually doing a talk in one of my clubs, PEO, on classic screen legends of women. It's because I thought it would fit with PEO, and I'm making that up, and we'll do a talk on that this year.
Oh, how fun. So what are some of your favorite classic movies?
Oh, gosh, you're going to get me going. It's really hard to pinpoint. I'm going to say Rebecca probably is my just favorite of all time by Alfred Hitchcock. It was just wonderful with Sir Laurence Olivier and Joan Fontaine. I love The Letter, all about Eve, of course. The Women. Yeah, I don't know if you're not familiar with old films, you probably
I'm familiar with a few of them.
Yeah, you're probably not going to know, because some of these now, Voyager is one of my very favorites. I'm sure if you know about films at all, that 1939 was the most enormous year of the fabulous films that everybody put out. I've actually seen documentaries on the year 1939. So it was really,
really?
Kind of hard to decide, did I want to do William Wyler films or whatever, you know, but I decided on women's screen legends for this particular talk. But there are many, many great films, and people who have not watched old classic films, they are so unbelievably different that I think they're really missing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They might should try them.
Yeah, it really is a different world today. I think now, I don't know, are we not as imaginative as we used to be?
I think you're right, and I think always what amazes me as I'm looking at this, they did so much, and it was so wonderful, and didn't they put out so many a year. Betty Davis used to say, oh, they bought the novels for us, and they put the film around us, and she did so many great films.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have that anymore, and I think the most amazing thing about old films is you can actually understand them. You can understand everything they're saying as opposed to everything running together because they're acting and they're trying to be natural. Well, I never thought Claude Rains or Betty Davis or, you know, Joan Crawford were not natural, and you could understand them.
Well, and they speak English. So it's like nowadays, I think the younger generation, they have their own language, and some of even the TV shows, I'm like, I don't even know what they're talking about. It's like, I totally missed it. There's a language barrier here.
Yeah, they do have lots of idioms and types of jargon that they use now, special words that, and maybe that's always the way it is with new generations, but I do think that they are maybe to an extreme now.
Yes, exactly. Sandy, I have so enjoyed talking to you today. Unfortunately, we're about out of time. I was wondering before we go if you have anything else you'd like to add for our listeners.
I really enjoyed the interview. Thank you so much. It was great, and I'm so pleased that y'all wanted to do it. It's really nice, and I totally am so thrilled about the award of the voting best children's book. It's just a great honor. Thank y'all very, very much.
Where can our listeners buy A Home for Abigail?
Of course, on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
They are available. You can order them from Barnes & Noble. Some of the Barnes & Noble carry them. Amazon, you can also get it off my website, and which I'm about to add. You can charge it there, but I'm going to also add a PayPal. Since when I go do signings, I have PayPal now, and I have that available. So.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much again for joining us. I really appreciated getting to know you and your family today, and thank you so much for sharing this time with us.
Well, thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us today at Inside Scoop Live for our interview with Sandy Cook. Sandy is the author of A Home for Abigail. And once again, you can find more information on Sandy and A Home for Abigail at www.ahomeforabigail.com. And be sure to check out our other interviews at www.insidescooplive.com.